Hare Krishna. Good morning, dear devotees. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nice to see you today. And I wanted to make just a brief announcement. Although I haven't heard of it being of anything of any immediate concern, I have another godbrother who has just come down with COVID yesterday, Madhu Sevita Prabhu, who is a GBC member for many, many years. And I haven't heard of anything that's to indicate that it's very serious, but he just came down with it. He was tested positive for it yesterday. So immediately a lot of devotees have been sending out letters. I sent him a letter also just this morning. And for any of you who know him, even if you don't know him, he does so much service for Srila Prabhupada and a very dedicated servant of ISKCON. So please remember him in your thoughts. And as I did, I simply pray to allow to be the opportunity to continue to be in his association. So that's my short announcement. And if I get any updates, I will share. We will begin with Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Volume 2, Chapter 4, Text 192. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. One other thing, just for the translator, before I forget. You may want to get Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Volume 1, Chapter 3, Text 84. I'm quite sure I will probably read from that in the course of today's class, whoever's translating. So, text 192. Na Satchidananda Ganatmanam hi Svalpe Pisokye Bahusokya Buddhi Samsarikanam Ivana Pituchcha Sukhanubhutir Yatinam Ivasyat. Translation. Because the Lord's pure devotees are absorbed in their true identity of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, they do not accept inferior happiness as great, nor do they get involved with the petty pleasures of materialists or of sannyasis with impersonalist views. Commentary. Ordinary people may, by ignorance, consider meager pleasure to be great, but Vaishnavas are not fooled. Because materialists, entrapped in the cycle of birth and death, are motivated by urges for sense gratification, such materialists consider the stimulation of sensory contact to be real happiness. Similarly, impersonalist renunciants, cultivating knowledge of their spiritual identity, hope to find real happiness in liberation. In most cases, however, the impersonalist sannyasis do not reach even the petty happiness for which they aspire. The cause of frustration for both the materialists and the impersonalists is their failure to realize their own true nature as spiritual souls. A person who actually realizes himself as pure spirit can never consider material happiness complete, nor can he be enticed by trivial sense gratification, nor by the meager happiness of impersonal liberation, because he is immersed in the most intense ecstasy. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmenitam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Koroti Vachalam Pungum Langayati Gari Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shanyavari Pastachade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I'll read our last verse, translation. Even amidst such diversity, the Lord's mercy achieves its highest perfection, for despite the hierarchy of greater and lesser devotees, none are affected by envy or by any such bad feelings towards others. Each devotee, following his own nature, attains the final limit of happiness in the service that suits his own taste. Last class, we spoke a little bit about the characteristic of pure devotees, how they are never looking in any way condescendingly upon others' devotional service, knowing full well that it's rendered with a pure state of consciousness, and therefore it's perfect and complete for the devotee who's rendering it. How could they ever think of it as being something less or inferior to their own service when the Lord is pleased by it? And we also, not only is the Lord pleased by it, but the Lord gives himself fully to that devotee for the services rendered. So we spoke a little bit about the mood of the residents of Goloka and how their qualities or characteristics of dānya, humility, displayed in such a way that they're always thinking themselves as unqualified, having no love for the Supreme Lord. And although we didn't mention it in last class, a thought just came to my mind of the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which clearly described in every case Narada Muni, when he confronted someone who he was told was the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy, each and every devotee responded with a mood quite similar all across, that they don't have any love for Krishna, they are not qualified for Krishna's mercy, and They have no love, and they don't do enough service for Krishna. So that was the characteristic of each pure devotee. And therefore, not only did they see themselves as not qualified, but they always had somebody in their sights of someone who was more qualified. Every one of them. So obviously that is one of the characteristics of a devotee. He's never thinking condescendingly of anyone else about their service. He thinks about his own service as inadequate, and he always sees the service rendered by others as superior to his own. So, therefore, this is also a manifestation of non-enviousness. But that was the last verse. I'm not going to go into that and elaborate on that anymore today. I was just recapping what we spoke about in the last verse. In today's verse, the verse begins that, well, basically, what it's an answer to a question that Gopal Kumara may have presented to Narada Muni. Wasn't presented, but it's a question which may have been raised, which is that, well, even you say everybody thinks their happiness is the highest bliss, but even people who are steeped in ignorance think their happiness is the highest bliss. So somebody may Gopal Kumara may have thought that way, and therefore, in response to Narada Muni's descriptions. So this verse specifically states that pure devotees, they don't accept such inferior happiness as great because they're not under the influence of this ignorance. And they look upon all forms of happiness which is derived by sense gratification as insignificant. What is that verse? Tasyaiva heto prayate to kovido na labhate yad brahmatam upadyada. First canto of the Bhagavatam describes that persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined, they never endeavor for happiness which is available from the highest planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, Patala, because they know that as far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it comes automatically in due course of time, just as in due course of time misery comes without asking for it. So Bhagavatam describes them as intelligent persons. So certainly devotees are such intelligent persons that they never consider such petty pleasures, both pleasures described as petty, the pleasures of sense enjoyment even, and of the pleasures which we've already elaborately discussed, the petty pleasures of liberation, which is petty in comparison to the pleasure of devotional service. And that's why Srila Rupa Goswami so very much elaborately describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu how pure devotional service derides the conception of liberation. And we also talked about that a little bit in, I think it was in our last class, where we said that we're talking, quoting Gopal Kumara, who was telling the mature Brahmin what the devotional shastras told him in Brahmaloka that be careful of this self-satisfaction, that self-satisfaction can be an obstacle for bhakti. Why? In fact, Prabhupada was just talking about that today in class. Just came to my mind. He was speaking about how the impersonalists, they were saying that how their happiness is derived by neti neti. Not this, not that. So they try to define their happiness by negating all the so-called pleasures of the material world. But that's, and he was explaining, that's not real happiness. And then Prabhupada went into the usual explanation that devotional service surpasses all kinds of happiness, which is experienced for those who attain liberation. And of course, here's the well-known verse, Aruya Krishna Parampadam Pata Tata Patantyato Nadraja Yuzmat Angraya, where Lord Brahma explains that anybody who tries to achieve this platform of the Mukta Maninas, they achieve liberation only, they think themselves liberated. That's all. It's liberation in the mind. They think they've achieved the highest position in the mind. But it's not real liberation because they fall down from that position of imagined superiority because they failed to take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. And having failed to take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, their liberation, incomplete. Whereas, Iha Yasya Hare Dasye Kamana Manasagira Nikalavapyavastasu Jivan Mukta Suuchate, as Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that for a person who's fully engaged all his mind, body, and words in devotional service, then for him, he's automatically achieved liberation. For him. Because his mind and his senses are automatically fully immersed in remembrance and service to Krishna. So, and another verse Rupa Goswami cites in this connection where he describes how devotional service derides the conception of liberation. He quotes a very well-known verse, Bhukti Mukti Spriha Yavat Pisachi Hiri Vartate, where he explains that this conception of bhukti, which means to enjoy petty pleasures, and mukti, to achieve liberation. Bhukti Mukti Spriha Yavat Pisachi Hiri Vartate. Hiri Vartate. He says that as long as these two thoughts or attachments or attractions are in the heart for enjoyment or for mukti, he'll never be able to actually experience the bliss of bhakti. And he says they're just like two witches that hunt one like a ghost. If two witches are hunting one like a ghost, anyone who's haunted by a ghost has has no control. He's haunted. He's possessed. And being possessed means that somebody else is trying to extract pleasure from their experiences, from their material body. So it's being like, he compares it to be like two witches which hunt one like a ghost. One will never be able to experience bhakti. Never. So this is also evidence which is given in this verse, that because the Lord's pure devotees are absorbed in their true identity of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, they don't accept inferior happiness as great. They are foolish. And the word is here is being used. Ordinary people may by ignorance consider meager pleasure to be great But Vaishnavas are not fooled. They're not fooled. So many examples. This other example comes to my mind. Prabhupada talks about it. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati tells the story also. Many places. Well-known story of when Indra took birth as a hog. And he took birth as a hog, and he had his pleasure with his wife hog and his little piglets. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, actually, he really gets graphic in Vaktriktavali. He really gets graphic. I think I have this somewhere, actually. Let me read it, because I've used it before in a class, and I'm sure I can find it if I just do a search on pigs. Yes, here it is. I keep a lot of things on hand. Yeah. He says, this is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Many of you know this story from the Mahabharata. Cursed to become a pig, Indra once lived at Manasa Sarovar with his piglets. Brahma went there and said to Indra, "Oh, you go to heaven and sit on the throne of Indra. There are many servants and maidservants are waiting to serve you." Hearing this, Indra was blinded by rage and tried to attack Brahma. Then one by one, Brahma killed Indra's piglets. And as a result, Indra, in pig form, screamed so loudly that the four directions shook. He considered Brahma a big enemy. And out of anger and lamentation, he became restless. The four-headed Brahma then killed Indra's dear pig wife. Thereafter, bereft of all of his relatives, the pig-shaped Indra began to think about Brahma's instruction and slowly remembered his actual position. The pig understood, "I'm actually Indra. I'm not a pig. The pig body is not my original form. By nature, I am a servant of the Supreme Lord, serving as Indra." And then he gives a little commentary. This is also Vaktriktavali. As a result of hearing about one's constitutional position, the living beings can understand their actual identity. At present, if we tell people mad after family life about their constitutional position the way Mahaprabhu taught it, reminding them that they should give up all other activities and simply worship Lord Hari, then like the pig-shaped Indra, they too will reply, "Eating stool or material enjoyment is our Sanatan Dharma, and we are happy with it. We don't want to hear about Lord Hari. We have so much work to do. We have to eat stool, and we have to have more children." Such people think the saints are their enemies. They do not know that Yasyaham Anugranami Harishyeta Dhanam Shanai. The Supreme Lord has said that to whomever he shows his mercy, he quickly takes away all that person's possessions. I'm not going to comment. It just came to mind. It's just another example of how devotees are not fooled by these lesser forms of pleasure. And if they do sometimes become a little bewildered by them, than the merciful Vaishnavas, such as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, may say, why don't you devote a little bit more of your time to hearing the glories of Supreme Lord Hari and stop saying, I'm too busy. I have too many other things I have to do. Very merciful. When such Vaishnavas speak like this, they're very kind. They're very kind. And sometimes it hurts, and sometimes it may be painful, but a devotee is somebody who understands his fallen position because he's humble and he accepts their mercy and understands, yes, I should be thinking this way. I should be thinking I don't do enough service for Krishna. I'm not qualified for Krishna's mercy. I have no love for Krishna. But if I have any hope at all in this life, any hope at all, then let me use my ears and my tongue to hear something about his glories and to say something about him to others and to chant his holy name. And if somebody reminds us about that, then such saintly persons like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they are simply impressing and showing their compassion to anyone who has the tendency to forget. What to speak of the materialists, which is those who he was talking about. He was not talking about devotees. He was talking about materialists. Because the materialists, they strike back. They scream, who are you? You know, they become angry. But devotees, they don't do that. Devotees don't become angry because a devotee sees this as Krishna's mercy. Very kind that somebody is giving me a wake-up call. A wake-up call to remind me that I'm Krishna's servant. So devotees are not fooled. They are not fooled. And that's the point that Srila Sanatana Goswami is saying here. They're not fooled because there's always Vaishnavas who will help us to remain strong in our intelligence. Such as Srila Narada Muni, Srila Sanatana Goswami, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And if you would have heard today's lecture from Srila Prabhupada, he was laying it on the line, as he always does. He doesn't hold any punches. I don't know. What can I say? Prabhupada just knows our fallen state of consciousness. He knows our tendencies, and he doesn't let up. He just doesn't let up. If anybody's intelligent, they'll turn on that Prabhupada's lectures every day and see that he doesn't let up. So kind. How can you find someone more merciful than that? Of course, Prabhupada doesn't let up, but if we really hear his message, then we hear he was also talking today about the gopis. He's talking about the mood of the residents in Vrindavan in the same class. You know, he doesn't let up about suffering, but he also reminds us that there's something higher. I wish I could remember today the verse he was speaking from. I would share it with you. Because Prabhupada gave us both perfectly, as he usually does, like a perfect package. Perfectly packages everything. And comes to the end, he ties it up. And such a gift. Each lecture is such a gift. Packaged nicely. Here, take it. I'll find it and I'll share it. I'll post it on the website. It was so nice. Such a nice package. So, anyways, we'll go to the next verse. And We're going to go into a little bit about hierarchy. Again, we talked about hierarchy last time. Text 193. We've talked about this verse too. Taratam, excuse me, taratam yam tu kalpyeta svasva seva anusarataha tattad rasa sajatiya sukhavaitritya pekshaya. The hierarchy among devotees is only imagined according to their own forms of service and according to the happiness each devotee derives from his own relationship with the Lord. Commentary. Every pure Vaishnava obtains results suitable to his own devotional attitude. What then is the basis for a hierarchy of greater and lesser devotees? In truth, no such hierarchy exists. It is only imagined as a device for comparing different kinds of devotional service. Talked about this before. Doesn't exist. It's only a device for comparing different kinds of devotional service. But comparing different kinds of devotional service is done because there are different kinds of devotional service. And there are different ecstasies, different detachments. But each devotee, as we have emphasized so many times, nobody's going to tell him he's not experiencing the greatest or highest bliss, because he's eternally situated in that realization of service according to his relationship. He's fully self-satisfied, fully. So if everybody is fully self-satisfied, then where's your question of lesser and higher? They're all fully self-satisfied. Now, of course, we already talked about, and we repeated it again today, that fully self-satisfied can be an impediment. But we spoke about that in relationship to Brahman. It can be impediment in relationship to Brahman. Because although one may feel self-satisfaction in Brahman, because he doesn't have a higher taste of service, and because the service propensity, or as Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Bhakti Tattva Viveka, he says, because the eternal propensity for service is nowhere existing in their mentality. Therefore, because they're just simply trying to derive self-satisfaction, bhukti, mukti, spriha, Krishna, Krishna bhakta nishkama atayeva shanta, bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, sakali ashanta. The devotee of Lord Krishna is nishkama. He has no desires. Whereas bhuktis, those who are desiring enjoyment, muktis, those desiring liberation, siddhis, those who are desiring mystic yoga perfections, they're still kami. Still kami, not karmi, kami. Kami means they still have lusty desires. Muktis still have lusty desires. They want self-satisfaction, which is a lusty desire. Therefore, it's an impediment. Because they can't have full self-satisfaction, as we already explained, because they fall down from that position of imagined superiority. Because real self-satisfaction, as we spoke about previously, very clearly, real self-satisfaction is Krishna's satisfaction. It's already included, fully complete, to the highest degree. He is Hrishikena. Hrishikesh, Hrishikena, he's the one who gives pleasure to the senses. He is Govinda. He gives the higher taste. All we have to do is please his senses, and our senses become
satisfied.
No extraneous effort. No extraneous effort. So, therefore, the hierarchy among devotees is only imagined according to their own forms of service and according to the happiness each devotee derives from his own relationship with Krishna. I didn't read the commentary, did I? I don't think I did. Right. Commentary. Every pure Vaishnava obtains results suitable to his own devotional attitude. What then? Oh, I did read it. I read part of it. I didn't read all of it. Excuse me. What then is the basis for a hierarchy of greater and lesser devotees? In truth, no such hierarchy exists. It is only imagined as a device for comparing different kinds of devotional service. That's where I left off. Each devotional relationship, or rasa, and its corresponding varieties of pleasure may, for convenience, be measured in terms of relative degrees of perfection. In the nine methods of devotional practice, such as hearing and chanting, and in the various services devotees rendered to the Lord in Vaikuntha and elsewhere, attending the Lord in person, massaging his feet, dressing his hair, serving him as a doorkeeper, each devotee relishes the highest possible happiness from his own service to his own worshipable Lord. By presuming a hierarchy of these services, one may also devise a hierarchy of happiness and may accordingly rank devotees. But even if, as some persons hold, such a hierarchy is factual, no pure Vaishnava thinks himself deprived of anything. All the Lord's devotees feel completely satisfied and happy. Again, they're self-satisfied, their happiness is from Krishna's pleasure. So, and because in Vaikuntha, everyone experiences the highest happiness. They don't experience the kind of pain that we've already been alluding to many times that was there already in Gopakumar and was growing, growing, growing. And as Narada Muni will soon blossom. That pain, because they're not experiencing that. They have Sat Chit Ananda. And that's why every reference is given to their Sat Chit and Ananda. And someone may say, well, if they're Sat Chit and Ananda, and Krishna's Sat Chit and Ananda, well, this is what's going to be discussed, I think, somewhere coming up soon. Then what's the difference? They seem to be the same. But the difference, of course, is that we know is Krishna Ekale Ishvara, Krishna Ara Sababhritya. Krishna's always the master and everyone else is always subordinate to him. Everywhere. And Krishna shares that Sat, Chit, and Ananda, the same pleasure that he experiences, and the same opulences that he experiences. He shares those opulences with the residents of Vaikuntha as well. Just see, we've already talked about many, many, many classes ago, how they had all the same opulences as the Lord. That's one form of liberation. To have the same opulences as the Lord, to live on the same planet as the Lord, to have the same form as the Lord, Right? These are to be an associate of the Lord. They share the same, but Ekala Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabha Krishna. Krishna's always the supreme. They are the servants, and he shares with them the happiness which he derives and gives that to them also. So, but when we're going to enter into the discussion of anything less than complete happiness, that's when we're moving in a certain direction. Anything less than complete happiness in Vaikuntha means we're moving in a certain direction. And that's the direction that Gopakumar's teaching the Mathura Brahman. Okay. It's okay to have emotions. It's okay to have these feelings. They're natural. They're natural feelings to have these emotions and feelings, to be in anxiety. It's okay to be in anxiety. It's okay. But for Krishna. For Krishna. When we actually realize that, for Krishna, we understand and always put, and that's what Prabhupada was talking about that today too. I'm going to have to pull out that talk. He was talking about that today too. Krishna, he just emphasized again, if Krishna's there, everything is perfect. And if you forget Krishna, then that's suffering. Therefore, what does a devotee, a genuine devotee, pray for? What protects the genuine devotee? When we hear the prayers in the Bhagavatam of the pure devotees standing before the Lord in his presence, and the Lord is asking them, how can I serve you? What benediction would you like? What do the devotees pray for? Please don't let me forget you. Please. Anything else? I can deal with it. But please don't let me forget you. Now they say two things. Please don't let me forget you. And please let me always stay in the association of your devotees. Why? Because they won't let me forget you either. So that's what they pray for. That's what Dhruva Maharaj prayed for. That wonderful story in the Bhagavatam. When Dhruva Maharaj is praying to the Lord who came to bestow his benediction, Dhruva Maharaj, only thing he asked for is, let me always stay in the association of your devotees. That's all he asked for. He didn't care about all the other things he wanted before. Revenge. He didn't care that he wanted to get back at his father and have a kingdom better than his father, his grandfather, even his great-grandfather. He didn't care anymore about the revenge he wanted to have towards his stepmother. He didn't care anymore about the revenge he wanted to have towards his stepbrother. He just didn't care about it anymore. All he asked for when the Lord finally came to him was, please let me always be in the association of devotees. Because in the association of devotees, I know they'll always help me to remember you. How can I forget you in their association? So two things. Don't let me forget and keep me in the association of devotees. These are prayers we see again and again repeated. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that is the greatest fear, to forget. So that Prabhupada was emphasizing, just don't forget Krishna. That's all. Just don't forget. That is the greatest fear. Even when Krishna says, when this will protect you from the most dangerous type of fear, in the Bhagavad Gita, that's the most dangerous type of fear. Don't forget. So we still haven't finished the purport. Oh, we did finish the purport. Yes, I'm sorry. We did. I was just simply speaking about the difference between the Lord and the devotees in Vaikuntha, how they share the same happiness. And they share the same ecstasies. And the only suffering or lamentation perceivable is such as that which was demonstrated by Gopakumar, because he wasn't in the right place and he was incomplete. For a while he thought he was in the right place and he tried to make it work, and everybody else tried to encourage him to try to make it work, but they only did that because they knew he wasn't going to be satisfied. They knew exactly what was going on. Anyways, we'll take one more verse. One more verse, yes. We'll read one more verse today. Text 194. Vaikuntha vasino hete kichid vai nitya parshada pare krishnasya kripaya sadhayitme mam agataha. Some of these residents of Vaikuntha are eternal associates of Lord Krishna, and others have come here by his mercy, having gained the privilege to enter. I'm going to read that one more time. Some of these residents of Vaikuntha are eternal associates of Lord Krishna, and others have come here by his mercy, having gained the privilege to enter. So, two. Back to what I was reading. Oh, he's reading it today. Yes, he's reading it today about Prahlad Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada was explaining in the commentary of one verse, he was quoting Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that he said Prahlada Maharaj was both Nitya Siddha and Sadhana Siddha. He was perfected soul, but he qualified himself to become perfected. And he gave the example of Prahlad Maharaj, and he also gave Narada Muni, because both their examples were given in the Bhagavatam. Narada Muni also previously was the son of a maidservant, and we know how he became perfected, and by his meditation on the Lord, he remembered the Lord appeared before him. Same with Prahlad Maharaj, he was always situated in remembrance. And now I remember why I was reading that purport, because it was connected to this verse. And anyways, so the commentary was saying how Prahlad Maharaj, he received the benediction from the Lord that you should rule your father's kingdom. I think it was for 36,000 years. You should always engage in the performance of sacrifices. You will always remember me. And at the end of your rule, you'll go back. You'll go to Vaikuntha. And he also said, you'll be known as the greatest devotee. The greatest devotee. He gave him that benediction. He said that in the presence of many other of his devotees. Lord Shiva was there, Lakshmi was there. Many others were present when the Lord said that to Prahlad Maharaj. And that's going to come out. I'm going to read something in connection to this verse. Let me read the commentary first. Commentary. Because the servants of the Supreme Lord are by constitution as purely spiritual as he, one may doubt there can be any, oh, this is what I was talking about before. One may doubt that there can be any difference between the devotees and the Lord, any distinction between the servant and served. Texts 194 through 199 resolve this doubt. Some residents of Vaikuntha have always been there, like Anantashesha and Garuda. Others, like Bharata, Priyavrata, and Jai and Vijay, have come to Vaikuntha from the material world and have become associates of the Lord relatively recently, having gained entrance into Vaikuntha after successfully practicing devotional service. So, this is, some of the associates are residents of Vaikuntha, eternal associates, always there. Some have come recently. We talked about this once before also in the class, how devotees who serve the Lord by their particular method of worship become pure by meditating on a particular form of the Lord, how the associates, the Vaikuntha dutas, they come, they take him, that person who's perfected his devotional service, they take him like they tried to do it with Gopal Kumar, and they said, hey, you don't need that body anymore. We've got another body for you now. Just take this body. And Gopal Kumar said, no. But everyone else, usually, they take their body. It's not they take birth. They just take the body, and there they are in Vaikuntha. Once they're there, Krishna says they never, Tadama Paramam Mama, once goes there, one never comes back. That's my supreme abode, unmanifested, infallible. It's the supreme destination. When one goes there, he doesn't have to come back. So there are perfected souls who recently, how recently? In eternity, even millions of years ago can be recently. We're not going to argue that point, what does recently mean? Yeah. But it can be a very long time ago. But it's still recently, because there are some who just never fell. They just never fell. They were just always there. So there's a very nice description I wanted to read, which is not directly connected, closely, not directly connected, but it's from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and that's why I wanted to read it. It's from a section we haven't read before, although we may have talked about it briefly. But it specifically describes Prahlad Maharaj, and Prahlad Maharaj's how he got special mercy. Special mercy was that he got a position by the Lord, which apparently was even greater than the residents of Vaikuntha. So someone's going to say, wait a minute, Prahlad Maharaj went back to Vaikuntha, serving Lord Nrisingadeva. Of course, he went to Vaikuntha, and he was also invited by Lord Vamana to go to Sutala for some time. He spent some time with Bali Maharaj in Sutala. But he went, that's also Sutala. There's no birth, death, disease, old age there either. But he's in Vaikuntha with Lord Nrisingadeva. And all of a sudden we're going to hear that Prahlad Maharaj had a position greater than even Lakshmi Devi herself. Now that sounds kind of strange when there's no hierarchy. How did Prahlad Maharaj get a position greater than Lakshmi? And this is explained by Srila Sanatan Goswami, and how he's a more recent devotee who entered Vaikuntha, and how the Lord considered him to be even greater than Lakshmi for a particular reason. He wanted it to make Prahlad Maharaj's glories particularly known for a particular reason. Even though he was a recent person who entered the spiritual world. And Sanatana Goswami explains this. I'm not going to read the whole commentary. As I said before, it's in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, first volume, chapter 3, text 84. This is Lord Shiva speaking. Lord Shiva was approached by Narada, and Lord Shiva, as we know, I won't go into the whole, we've heard many times of how each devotee Narada Muni approached, described themselves as unqualified for Krishna's mercy, and began to tell Narada Muni, there's somebody else greater. And Lord Shiva wanted to tell Gopa Kumar, there's somebody even greater than Lakshmi. But he called, not Gopa Kumar, Narada Muni. He wanted to tell Narada Muni, there's somebody even greater than Lakshmi. But he told Narada, come close. I'll whisper it into your ear. And because if it's heard, then somebody may hear that I'm telling you there's somebody who's even greater than Lakshmi. And if she hears it, and she might behave and say something in a certain way that won't be good for her. So come closer. And then Lord Shiva starts telling him about Prahlad. And then he says, text 84 says, in both cases, the Lord acted out of affection for Prahlad. This is the beginning of the verse. In both cases, he's speaking about Bali Maharaj, and the Lord was merciful to Bali Maharaj because Bali was Prahlad's grandson. And the Lord was merciful also to Banasura, another person, also because of some connection with Prahlad. So he's making the point that the Lord was merciful to them because of Prahlad. So in both cases, the Lord acted out of affection for Prahlad, his most beloved devotee. But what more about this can I say in the presence of Gauri, the close friend of the goddess Lakshmi? Now, we've already talked about this before. She's more than just a close friend. She's an expansion. Parvati is an expansion of Lakshmi. But Lord Shiva is presenting it this way. So, commentary. Narada might like to hear more about the glories of Prahlad Maharaj, but Lord Shiva is afraid to arouse the anger of his wife. If he says much more in praise of Prahlad, he will doubtlessly fall into an ecstatic trance. If he then speaks too loudly, Parvati might hear what he is saying. She's a good friend of Mahalakshmi's and would not like to hear about Prahlad's being a greater devotee than the Supreme Lord's consort. If Parvati becomes annoyed, Lord Shiva worries, she will act disrespectfully toward himself and Narada, and that will not be good for her. Reason dictates that a newcomer to devotional service like Prahlad could not surpass the goddess Lakshmi. He's a newcomer. Reason dictates that a newcomer to devotional service like Prahlad could not surpass the goddess Lakshmi, who eternally resides in the chest of Lord Narayan. Yet still, Prahlad received special mercy from the Lord to put him in that unlikely standing. When Brahma gave Hiranyakashipu the boons that made him the scourge of the three worlds, the Supreme Lord was concerned that his devotees not have their confidence in devotional service weakened by seeing their enemy allowed to become so powerful. In other words, the Lord was very concerned. He wanted to make sure devotees didn't become afraid by seeing how powerful Hiranyakashipu became, because it may cause them to lose their confidence. How can somebody like that become so powerful? So powerful. So to help dispel the Vaishnava's anxieties and doubts, Lord Nrisimha, right after killing Hiranyakashipu, blessed Prahlad to become greater than all other devotees, past and present, including the residents of Vaikuntha. His personal attendants and his beloved consort, Lakshmi. Excuse me. Missed something. His personal attendants. Oh, excuse me, it's part of the same sentence, that's why. Okay, I thought there was a period. Including the residents of Vaikuntha, his personal attendants, and his beloved consort, Lakshmi. With this benediction in mind, Lord Shiva has said about Prahlad in text 75. There is a greater recipient of Krishna's mercy than your father, Brahma, me, and other servants like Garuda, and even the goddess of fortune. His name is Prahlad. He is famous throughout the world as the dearmost devotee of Krishna. And in text 80, when the Lord tore apart Hiranyakashipu, I, all the demigods, and the goddess Lakshmi witnessed with our own eyes the incomparable good fortune of Prahlad. Thus, by the Lord's sweet will, Prahlad became the greatest Vaishnava, which would otherwise have been impossible. Sometimes, the personality of Godhead declares other, quote, recent devotees, like Prahlad, dearer to himself than Lord Sankarsana, Mahalakshmi, and other great personalities of the eternal kingdom of Vaikuntha. Sri Krishna tells Uddhava, Natata me priyatama, atma yonir na sankara, na cha sankarshano na shir, naivatma cha yata bhavan. Neither Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Sankarsana, the goddess of fortune, nor indeed my own self is as dear to me as to you. This is the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam verse. One comment about that verse. Previously, Sanatana Goswami explains that this verse, which Krishna was speaking to Uddhava, where he said, "You, Uddhava, are more dear to me than Brahma, Shiva, Sankarsana, goddess of fortune, even my own self." Sanatana Goswami explains that the Lord actually meant to say, "My devotee is more dear to me. My devotee." But in his ecstasy, he said, because he was in Uddhava's presence, he said, "You, Uddhava." But actually, this verse is used for other devotees as well, as it is for Prahlad Maharaj. That neither you, nor Brahma, Shiva, Sankarsana, the goddess of fortune, nor indeed my own self is as dear to me as you. It is also used for Prahlad, and it can be used for others as well. And this is how Sanatana Goswami explains it in an earlier commentary. And then another verse from, he quotes, "Naham atmanam ashase mad bhaktai sathubir vina shriyam atyantikam vapi yesham gatir aham para." Without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I am not attracted to my own self or to my supreme consort, the goddess Shri. So these are verses he's given as evidence as to why a recent devotee like Prahlad is spoken by the Lord as someone who is greater than even someone like the goddess of fortune or a resident of Vaikuntha. And he has a reason for it. And Sanatana Goswami now explains the reason. One reason why the Supreme Lord speaks like this is that although his eternal associates, Sankarsana, Mahalakshmi, and so on, are ever established in unswerving devotion, they underwent no tribulations to gain it. They're his eternal associates. They didn't have to go through difficulties. No tribulations at all. There always were. Always were. But whereas his, quote, new devotees in the material world have sacrificed all comforts and security to gain pure devotional service, for the trouble such devotees have taken, Lord Krishna is especially grateful. Besides this, the Lord wants to encourage all his devotees to surrender themselves more fully. And to accomplish this, he emphatically praises devotees like Prahlad who have taken great risks for his satisfaction. So, Sanatana Goswami's commentary to a previous verse, how some recent devotee like Prahlad, even though he's a recent entry into the spiritual world, he has been declared by the Lord as somebody who's even greater than Brahma, Shiva, Lakshmi, and even him, his own self. Why? Because he specifically wanted to point out the tribulations that Prahlad had to go through to achieve his perfection. And therefore, he specifically considered that tribulation and discomfort that he went through in the face of all kinds of adversity. He wanted to give his devotees who are still here in the material world an impetus to become recognized by Krishna also. If the Lord recognizes Prahlad to be such a great devotee, even beyond his devotees in Vaikuntha, because of the tribulations he underwent, then he is helping devotees at least to gain a glimpse of, yes, this is how to become dear and to become recognized by the Lord. Prahlad is a recent addition to Goloka, and the Lord declared it. He said it right to Prahlad. At one of his benedictions, he told Prahlad right after he killed Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrisimhadev said, he said, "You are the dearest of all my devotees." And he said it in Lakshmi's presence, Shiva's presence, Brahma's presence. He didn't say, "You're okay. Don't worry." He didn't say that. In the presence of all his devotees who were present, he said, "You are the dearest of all my devotees." And you'll be known. Your glories will be known. Throughout all the upper planetary systems, your glories will be known. He also told Prahlad Maharaj. He said many other things also. But that specifically was a statement the Lord made directly to Prahlad in the presence of many of his dear devotees. So that is a little bit about, I wanted to just bring that up because it was about some of the recent devotees, of which Prahlad Maharaj is also considered to be a recent devotee. And others were mentioned, Jai Vijay, Priyavrata Maharaj was also mentioned, and one other, I can't remember who was mentioned, but I'll find it very quickly. Bharat Maharaj. And there's more about these differences about the newcomers and the old-timers. I don't know, that's not the right word, old-timers. Always have been. there's more about them. And that will come out in some of the verses about the distinct differences of the services. And there's some distinct differences of the services, but still everybody's just as ecstatic and happy. But some do get some more opportunities for some intimate pastimes with the Lord. When the Lord chooses them, come on, come with me. When he descends, they go with him, such as Garuda, Vishvaksena, and others of the Lord's eternal associates in Vaikuntha. They accompany him when he descends. Whereas some of the newcomers, they don't get that so-called privilege. These are all coming up. These points are coming up in some future verses. All right, we will end here, and I might have covered, I don't know. Anyways, we'll end here. And we can chant a little japa together. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Thank you. I forgot. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Ananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna. Thank you, dear devotees. We will continue with Brihad Bhagavatamrita on Monday. And tomorrow, class for the Russian-speaking devotees beginning at 10 o'clock India time. I still don't know what topic I'm speaking on yet, but I'll think about it. So let's end here. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna.